Jesus is the King of Kings. And last week we looked at Jesus is the High Priest. He is our High Priest. And I mentioned that I did not have a plan to address the fact that Jesus is the Prophet. But as I thought about that, I realized that this lesson would tie together another few lessons I had bringing. We talked about the tongue. Be careful, little tongue or mouth, what you say. And then I brought a lesson about being careful what we see. And the next one I thought is, well, I could talk about being careful what we hear. And then it just hit me that Jesus is our prophet, the prophet, and the fact that we're talking about hearing him and being careful what we listen to, the two went together. And so I thought, well, I need to bring this lesson and it'll kind of tie in a bow both of those two different things as I was talking about them. So I want us to look a little more carefully this morning at the fact that Jesus is the prophet of God and how important it is to listen to him. But also then conclude by talking about a few things about being careful what we hear. So we're going to deal with, in the first part, listening to Jesus. We're going to talk about false teaching, false doctrine, and the Bible warning us about that. But then we'll conclude very quickly with things that we need to be careful that we're not listening to. And I think and I hope that it'll be a benefit to you. I know it is always a benefit to me when I bring these lessons, when I study for these lessons, because I hope you know that when I preach, I'm preaching to myself because I am flesh like you are. And so I need these things just as much as you do. Our scripture reading in Hebrews chapter 1 in verse 1 and 2, which Craig read for us, tells us there that God in these last days has spoken to us by his Son. And we're living in the last days. We could prove that, but we're living in the last days. And so that means that we are now being spoken to by God the Father's Son, Jesus the Christ. And we can turn to, in that passage, it says that he used to speak to the fathers in times past, to them by the prophets. And we could turn to all kinds of books of the Bible. In fact, many of the Old Testament Bible books are named after prophets and their messages to the people of God. And we could show that, yes, God did speak to the people of the past using his prophets, these men that would speak on and deliver his message. And we've spent a lot of time in our study of 1 Corinthians here talking about a prophet. And this is a person that would receive by inspiration a message. God would deliver a message to them, and then they would deliver that message to God's intended audience. And so there were times that the prophet spoke to the various nations. They were going to be punished, and so they were supposed to speak. Jonah was told by God, you go deliver my message to those in Nineveh. And we have the story of where he went and he did that. But we have the lessons of him trying to run from that responsibility. But he was given a task to deliver the message from God. God used prophets. If you would, hold your place in Hebrews chapter 1. And quickly go to Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 9, because this will show what we're talking about, even from the vantage point of a prophet. And it's very plain. I'm in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, Jeremiah said. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. And so that's what a prophet did. God put his words in his mouth, and he was going to go out and deliver that message. Now, when you understand that God spoke that way, but now God speaks to us through his Son, the Father through his Son. And that is a very close relationship. That's a father and son relationship where the Father is telling the Son, you give people this message. So look at how clear this is in John chapter 12. This is, again, the Hebrew writer tells us that God is now speaking through his Son. And Jesus himself tells us what that meant. and how serious that was and how serious he took that. Look at John chapter 12, beginning in verse 36. While you have light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done these many signs, they did not believe in him. That the word of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last days. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, and what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Now, that's very plain when you look at what he is saying. Even though Jesus had done all of these signs, he had done these before the Jewish leaders, they still didn't believe. And we can go and look at where that was the case. But it was prophesied in Isaiah that their unbelief would be their stubborn response. They would not respond. But then look at how clear it is there in verse 49 and 15. The Father gave Jesus what to say and speak. And Jesus said, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. That is, it's really like, I want you to go and tell them this. And this is how you're going to say it, and this is what you're going to say. And Jesus says, that's what I was told, and I say it just like I got it. Now that is something that we often struggle with. But not when it's this Father and Son and we're talking about delivering the message of God. The old telephone, I could talk in Brother Phil's ear, he could turn around and talk to Brother Donald and on around the room. By the time it got back to me, who knows what it would be. There is a direct communication from the Father to the Son, and he says, what I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. There is no breakdown in communication. There's no breakdown in the message. Jesus' message was the Father's message. And that's the work of a prophet. And Jesus is the one that God now speaks to through in this last days. Well, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18, because this is exactly what Moses had foretold. And that's important, because something like this that Moses would say, by the time we look at a couple of passages in the New Testament, it becomes very clear that they understood that they were looking for this prophet that Moses talked about. So we know that they're looking for this prophet that would come. So we know now that this would be a messianic prophecy of a prophet coming. And this prophet, of course, in our study this morning, is going to be Jesus. But notice what Moses says there in verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. Moses' message is very clear. There's going to come a prophet that's going to speak. And Moses was God's spokesperson. You remember he stumbled around and God said, all right, you tell Aaron, Aaron will tell the people. Well, it couldn't be a breakdown between Moses and Aaron, could it? It had to be what God said. That needed to be the message. And so here we have Moses telling the people that there's going to be a prophet like me. Hear him, you shall hear. You need to listen to him. Jump down to verse 18. He says again, I will raise up for them a prophet like you, the Lord said, from among their brethren. Now notice, I will and will put my words in his mouth. Isn't that what Jesus said? The Father said this to me. That's what I said. What he says, that's what I speak. And this is what was said that he would do. He says, and he shall speak to them all that I command him, which is what Jesus said he was doing. Verse 19, and it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. Now think about how serious that is there in verse 19. I'm going to send a prophet. Hear him. And if you do not hear him, whoever will not hear him, hear my words. His words are my words, which he speaks in my name, by my authority. I'm going to require it of him. So fast forward. You reject the words of Jesus, what's God going to do? He's going to require that of you. And we brought a lesson not long ago on the punishment of hell, those that reject Jesus. Many are going to say in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't I? I never knew you. Depart from me. Depart from me. In Stephen's sermon, which ultimately got him stoned in Acts chapter 7, in that discourse, in his sermon, he quoted this prophecy that a prophet would come. Moses said a prophet would come. And he applied it to Jesus. And so the prophet they were to be looking for was Jesus. And what did they do? Well, they rejected him. They rejected his words. Well, if you rejected Jesus, who else did you reject? You rejected the Father. Because he came and delivered the message of the Father. Look at the clear message that God gave to James and Peter and John in Matthew chapter 17 in the Mount of Transfiguration, a passage that is in your mind. You see this bright light. It's described as being whiter than any white that you could possibly accomplish. Any launderer couldn't get it that white. And in that moment, as we see in verses 1 through 6. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. That word transfigured is metamorpho, which is where we get our metamorphosis. That's the Greek word that is used here. He says, so he was transfigured before them. He was changed. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, let's make one for, and a voice starts speaking. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Hear him. Moses said, a prophet's coming. Don't listen to Moses. Don't listen to Elijah the prophet, the great prophet. Listen to my Son. Why? Because I'm speaking to him today. Through him. I'm speaking to him. He's delivering the message. Hear my Son. You see, all these passages that we've looked at together just cement the fact that when it comes to the things that we do in the name of Christ, in the congregation, you know, in the worship, all of that is directed by God, by deity. It's by the will of the Father. And so I can't call these audibles. I can't say, oh, we can all get there in the same direction. It doesn't work that way. God spoke in times past through the Father, through these prophets, and He had clear messages then. And then these last days, He speaks to us through His Son. And that's a foundational truth. You understand that? That is a foundational truth upon which you have to build your life. I have to build my life. I have to listen to the words that are found and contained in the words that Jesus gave, we'll see in a moment, that were given to His apostles. And that's the words we listen to. That's how we get who we're to be, how we're to conduct our lives. And if we don't listen to Him, the Lord is going to require it of us. And so listen to the words that Jesus Himself said based on this foundational truth, that you have to build your life upon the things that I teach you. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. You cannot get to the Father unless you follow and listen to Jesus. That cannot be any clearer. And you can't listen to just anything. That's dangerous. Not everyone is going to speak the truth. So you have to be mindful of what you're listening to. Last fall, we learned, and to make this point about being careful what we're listening to, I hear preachers talk about popular speakers on blogs and things of that nature that members of the church start listening to. And sometimes they're not able to discern the false teaching that's taking place. And we learned when we were visiting in the fall back over in Virginia that their daughter, whose husband is a preacher, I'm not sure if he still is preaching, but she just decided she no longer believed in God. She's now an atheist. And a podcast may have contributed to that. She started listening to someone that rejected God, and now she rejects God. You think about how heartbreaking that is. And now he carries the children to worship alone. Now, how do you go from that? Well, you have to be careful what you are listening to. I'm in Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse 15 and 16. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. You have to be careful to the messages that you are hearing. There are false prophets in the days of the Israelites, and there are false teachers today, and you and I have to be able to spot them. We have to be able to spot them. Look at the other passage there, 2 Peter chapter 2, and look at verse 1 and 2. 2 Peter 2 and verse 1 and 2. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. So you see in that passage that he said there were false prophets, there's going to be false teachers today. And we bear the responsibility. We bear the responsibility to not be deceived by the false teacher. They look like a godly person, a sheep, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. And there are many false teachers today and many false doctrines. So 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 says, when we bear our responsibility, John calls it a process of test, a test of the spirits. You have to test them. That's exactly what the Bereans were doing when they heard the message. They were looking at the scriptures and seeing, is what is being said true? And that made them noble. They cared about what they were listening to and who they were listening to. And in our case, we need to listen to Jesus. And God's word is true. and men have to be examined against it, against the scriptures, to see if what is said is true or false. So even in my blunder here and getting the wrong passage and so forth, you have to be attentive to those things. And as awkward as that can be for me when it's like, well, I wrote down Mark when I meant Matthew, it makes a difference, doesn't it? But if I was doing all that or hardly using any scriptures or wasn't saying to you, look at that, is that not very plain and clear? We've looked at some pretty direct and clear scriptures this morning. And you need to be looking and saying, yes, that's what it says. You may even want to say, you know, I'm going to look at that further. Maybe I ought to look at the context and get a better understanding of that. That's responsibilities that you bear and that you can do and benefit from even the preaching of the gospel from the pulpit. You can learn from these. You can say, I want to look at that closer. Sometimes you think, what do I need to study? There's a lot of things that we can latch on to. When I go to gospel meetings, almost every time somebody's going to say something that I'm going to go, ooh, I want to preach on that. They may be here and I may read the next verse and go, I want to preach that thought. It may be something completely. It may just spark it. But again, looking at the scriptures and understanding and developing in them, it is important what and who we are listening to. Paul said this to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 13. And it's this at this point of the lesson that I have to say, I hope. I hope it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So he said to the church at Thessalonica, he says, you received the word of God. You knew where the source was. Think about in our Bible study. You remember that what we were talking about there at the end where Paul says, you need to acknowledge that what I'm telling you right now is the commandments of God. And Paul says to them that you receive the word of God. Not of men, you knew it was from God. And it's very important because he rebuked the churches of Galatia in Galatians chapter 1. Look at Galatians chapter 1. He actually rebukes them because beginning in verse 6, he says to them, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Jesus is the prophet of the Father. His words reveal the gospel. There is no other gospel. There's only the one. There isn't another. And you can't cross wires and get on the wrong track and expect to have a good outcome, because you've stopped listening to the Son and you've started listening to men. And so that's why when you kind of put this together in Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. What are we saying? What is Paul saying? You have to do what Jesus says in word or deed. You have to have, that's why the phrase, thus saith the Lord, came up. Or it is written, show me the passage, where is the scripture? And we stick to that. We understand, because we're not at liberty to go about making Christ's church whatever we want it to be. And yet, what do we have all over the shoals? We have what would be called, oh, we're serving Christ. Of course we're one of Christ's churches. But you can't do what you want to do and make it up. You're not listening to the Son. And so you have to be able to point to the scriptures and say, here's why we do what we do. And sometimes the men, if you have any, in the announcements, if you have any questions as to what we're doing, or if, you know, we'll be happy to give you an answer. Maybe there's a visitor. You say, you may question, why do you only sing? Are we ready to give an answer? Of course we are. We want to turn to the scriptures and show these answers. But it's not only the words of Jesus, but we also know that it's the word of the men he chose to send out into the world. Peter said this in 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 1 and 2. 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 1 and 2. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both which I stir you up your pure minds by way of reminder. Peter does a lot of reminding. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. That would be back in the Old Testament when he used to speak to the prophets. That you be mindful of the words before the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles, the Lord and Savior. Now, we're not under the authority of the Old Testament, but we understand that these be spokespersons of God, delivered, like, think about Solomon and the inspired writings, the wisdom that he gave for us to follow. In Ephesians chapter 3, in the first five verses, listen to what the Apostle Paul says on this matter in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, and it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. These inspired men, I think Peter was saying the same thing when he talked about the holy prophets. These were people God chose. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's going to come. You're going to receive these words. What was their responsibility? I'm going to give you the words. You need to speak those words. And that becomes the force of the gospel message. Revealed to the apostles, revealed to other inspired men who were called prophets. And here's an example. Look at these two examples in our study of 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. And then he says, reminds them of what he had told them about the Lord's Supper. I received it, I delivered it. What I was told, that's what I gave you. Look at chapter 15 and in verse 3, where we're headed, Lord willing, even on Wednesday. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. Pretty plain. I received it, I delivered it. You know what happens today? We've got the Word of God, I change it. That was mentioned in the prayer, that we not add or take away. And people add and people subtract. So you get the Word of God, the written Word. We've talked about that in our study as well in 1 Corinthians. We have it. We're not to change it. And people say, well, it's old. We can't possibly do that. It's outdated. We need to be careful who and what we're listening to. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, listen to, again, this same idea of those who had received the message and delivering the message. The Hebrew writer says, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. That's exactly what we know when we study the Holy Spirit, when you go through the book of Acts, when you go through the book of 1 Corinthians. We see that exactly what is being said. What was spoken by the apostles and confirmed to those that heard, how did they confirm it? Through the signs and the wonders. What did that do? That confirmed, I'm speaking on behalf of God. You need to listen. Where did that come from? That came from Jesus. God said, hear him. He's the prophet Moses said would come. And there's consequences when we do not listen to Jesus. Well, if we were to sum this part up, Jesus is the prophet that we listen to today. He's the one of prophecy. There's salvation in no other name. I would conclude that, wouldn't you? That's what the apostles concluded in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. There is no other foundation that can be laid than Jesus Christ. We understand that. Hear him. Hear him. What Jesus heard from his Father, he delivered us. We need to pay attention to what we're listening to. What else could we conclude when we look at him being the one that we are supposed to listen to? Now, I mentioned as we close that we would talk very briefly on the other part of this. So you've got Jesus the prophet, hear him. What do the scriptures teach us that we're supposed to listen to? What is it telling us? Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Just like you have to be careful what you're looking at, what you're saying. You have to be careful what you're listening to. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, you can see we've got the first three right there just from this one verse. And here's what Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4 says. You can understand that it says everything that I have there. He says, beginning in verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be even named among you as is fitting for saints. It's not fitting for saints. And this isn't either. Filthiness. That's filthy talking or any kind of filthiness. That's not becoming or foolish talking. That is not anything that is what we shouldn't listen to foolish talking. We shouldn't be engaged in our mouth of saying foolish talk, using foolish talking. And we don't give our ear to those things. Or coarse jesting. That's that again, this idea of we understand what coarse, you think about sandpaper, coarse sandpaper. Very rough and gruff. We shouldn't listen to that. We shouldn't not only speak it, but there are times that what do you have to do? You have to leave. I was told that radar on MASH came into a furniture store down in Tampa where a member of the church worked. And they were all standing around kind of bad-mouthing their wife. And he walked up and some things were said and he said, I love my wife, and just walked away. Left them standing there befuddled. I thought that was pretty impressive that he says, I don't engage in this kind of talk. And nor should we. And so there's times that maybe we need to walk away. Maybe we need to take courage and say, I don't listen to this kind of thing. Do you mind stopping? And I think many of you have done that. And you've got coworkers that hold their tongue in your presence where when they first started out, they didn't. And that's good because they understand that you don't participate in those things. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20 talks about tale-bearing. And this is our idea of passing tales. What's very interesting is the younger generation probably doesn't know what a party line is, but if they've been introduced to Andy Griffith, they shouldn't have some idea what that is. And that's the old two people on the line, and you couldn't call because you all shared the same line. Well, you'd pick up the phone, and it's two people just tale-bearing, talking about this person and talking about that one. And you had to wait until they got done talking before you could then say, okay. Or I remember Dad sometimes having to say, ladies, I need to make an important call. Can you get off and call one another back in a few minutes, and have to do that? And that's kind of foreign, but we have that gossip where things are passed along from one to the other. Proverbs 26 and verse 20 says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no tale-bearer, strife ceases. Well, sometimes tale-bearing stops with me. I'm told it, but I don't pass it on. But we all, I think, find it very interesting. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 20, the word is whispering. And that's where we get this idea of gossip. And I'm telling you, what do we tend to do when we're gossiping? We tend to lower our voice and whisper. It's like instinctively we know that we shouldn't be saying these things where everybody can hear it. And so that would be something that we have to be careful. So how do you stop gossip? Well, you might just walk away or say, well, I don't want to hear this or participate in that. And we walk away. And so whether it's filthy talk or foolish talk or coarse talk, tale-bearing, gossip, we have the ability to speak out against it or to simply walk away. We do not have to hear it. Be careful what you hear. And Jesus said many times, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And what he meant by that is, you're hearing what I'm saying, but are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you listening to what I'm saying? And hearing implies comprehension and doing. And so we look at this and we listen to the teaching of the Scriptures and we do it, or if it says don't do it, well, then we don't do it because we're listening. And Jesus said that if you listen to my teaching, if you have ears, hear. And who better to hear than the one God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. I speak through him today. Well, you might be here this morning, and you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. We talk about the steps, things that you do to become a Christian, to have your sins forgiven. You turn from your sins. You confess with your mouth your belief in Christ. You go down into the water to be baptized, to wash your sins away. That's God's plan. Do we hear, do we obey, or do we rebel? Do we say, well, I don't want to do that. I don't like getting wet. Or that's embarrassing. Or whatever the case may be. Or I'm not ready because I'm not ready to change my life. Well, you don't want to wait until it's everlastingly too late. Maybe you're a child of God and something's amiss in your life. Can we help you in any way make correction? Steve has selected this invitation song. Let's all stand and sing.